بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in tonight's Taraweeh we commenced with Surah An-Nisa, which, like the surah before it, is a Madani surah. And as we had mentioned before, the Madani surahs generally comprise of a great amount of ahkam, injunctions, laws from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This particular surah is no different. In fact, it comprises of various ahkam and injunctions specifically pertaining to Nisa, to women. Hence the name Surah An-Nisa. And in the opening few verses of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in detail about a very important aspect of our deen, which is the aspect of mirath, of inheritance. Mufassirin have written that if a person looks through the entire Quran and all the different a'mal and ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard upon us, for when it comes to our salah, our zakat, hajj, fasting in the month of Ramadan, then while we may find throughout the Quran the command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, aqimu salah, atu zakah, the command to fast in the month of Ramadan, but detailed discussion, description, and the method of how to carry out these ibadat is not found in the Quran. A person can look through the entire Quran, he won't find the method of reading one rakat of salah, the amount of zakat to pay, the different actions that a person has to carry out during the pilgrimage of hajj. These are understood and learned through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when it comes to this particular injunction of mirath, of inheritance, we find almost the entire quarter, the last quarter of the fourth juz, almost the entire quarter is dedicated only to the masail and the ahkam of mirath, of inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the importance. And great detail has been mentioned. A person leaves this world, then what is his condition? Does he leave behind children? And his offspring, are they male, female? Does he have a wife or not? Are his parents alive or not? And different scenarios have been mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has then mentions faridatan min Allah, that these laws of mirath, of inheritance, have been stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insan does not have a say in it. Unfortunately, we find when it comes to mirath, when it comes to inheritance, first of all, how many people don't even have an updated will in their position? The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is very clear. La yahillu, it is not permissible for a believer who has any amount of money in his estate, even if it be a few rands also. Person may think, I am not wealthy, I hardly have anything to give. But a person who has anything in his estate, anything of value, a few pennies also, it is not permissible that two nights pass except that he should have a shar'i will in his possession. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we should try and understand how important this particular command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And then we find many people may have an updated will, but is that will in accordance to shari'at or not? We find when a person will leave this world, what is the benefit of breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even at that time? That a person now wants to deprive somebody who he had a fight with, or he wants to favor one heir over the other. All of this is completely against the ahkam and the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down in the Quran. So this is an extremely important aspect. Together with this, just something for us to think about, just for us to gauge where we are, and perhaps some homework for us when we go home tonight, is that how many a times a person has a valid shar'i will, and his heirs also are conscientized. The executor of the estate has been chosen. People are willing to uphold the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he leaves this world, his matters are completely in disarray. Nobody knows what belongs to him. Is the car his or his wife's? The appliances in the house. So let us go home tonight and think. Ask ourselves, ask our families. The appliances in the house, the fridge, the freezer, the stove, who does it belong to? How many a times we find the wife will say to the husband, the curtains are old, we need to change the curtains. On a Sunday afternoon, he'll take her out, she'll choose the curtains, the husband pays for it. Now who do those curtains belong to? This may seem like something trivial, but if one of the parties have to pass away, have to leave this world, there's minor children who are involved, it should not be that we are eating up the wealth of somebody unknowingly. It is extremely important that we have these things recorded, written down, everything is made clear. It has been mentioned about Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that on one occasion, some Murideen went to his house to visit him, and there was a large crowd, so he was sitting in a room, and there wasn't enough space for the guests to sit. So somebody brought a chair from the other room, And after a while they noticed that Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was perturbed, he was worried. So he excuses himself, he leaves the room and he comes back. And then he seems to be at itminan, at ease. So somebody asked him, Hazrat, what happened? Explain to us, what went through your mind? So he says, see, because of the number of guests that had come, there wasn't enough seating space in this room. And somebody had brought a chair from the next door room. But I had already made it clear to my wife that everything in this room belongs to me. Everything in that room belongs to her. And I was worried that if Malakul Maut had to come, I had to pass away now, then the executor of my estate would think this chair belongs to me and give it to my heirs and they would deprive my wife. So this amount of fikr, of concern they had, that not a single cent must be misappropriated. And that is why we can find so many verses dedicated to this injunction of mirath, of inheritance. Allah grant us tawfiq, give us the realization that this is not something that we can dictate, something that we can decide, but the laws have already been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, in the fifth juz, various ahkam have been mentioned, and in particular Allah mentions one principle, which if this principle is followed, then we will find that society will function at an optimal level. There will be no issues in society. The household will be a happy household also. Allah mentions, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah has given the men, in other words, the husband, the father, the man of the house, authority over the woman of the house. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two reasons. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Firstly, generally we find most of the time it is the man who is contributing the majority of the to the expenses of the home. So therefore, he has a right to make decisions. But more than this, Allah says, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, that this is a decision made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he has chosen to bestow this favor or this honor upon the husband, upon the father. Allah has given him authority. And therefore, nobody should question or object to this decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's time, we find, and this is something that is common, the feminist agenda is such that they are trying to push forward this message that there are no gender roles in Islam. We find this statement is made commonly. I am a Muslim and I am a feminist. Wal-iyadu billah. Allah protect us. But the deen and the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is crystal clear. Allah has defined roles for each and every person. The husband has his role. The wife has her role. The children have their role. And if everybody abides by this, then we will find that house will be a happy home. So Allah has given the husband authority. However, this does not mean that we have the license to oppress. It does not mean that we should now rule with an iron fist and my way or the highway. No. In fact, if we look through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find on many, many occasions, كان في خدمتي أهله, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would serve the azwaj mutahharat. He would see to their needs. Physically, he would assist in the house with the chores, with the children. Allah grant myself, all of us tawfiq. So we should not abuse this verse that Allah has given me authority and you have to listen to me. No. Rather, with love, with mutual consultation. But ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the final say to the husband. And this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only when we will bring this complete deen within our lives, then we will see our homes are happy. Then we will see our society is a flourishing society. Further, in the fifth juz, just two more incidents, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the justice and the fairness of the deen of Islam. And this message is driven home that Islam is a religion of equity, of fairness. Nobody will be oppressed in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The incident of Uthman bin Talha is mentioned on the occasion of Fath Makkah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam enters Makkah Mukarrama, of course, as a victor. And many incidents take place. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam asks for the key of the Kaaba. Now this key was in the care of Uthman bin Talha. So he comes forward. He is forced to hand the key over to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam enters the Kaaba. He performs two rakats of salah. And he then clears out the idols that are there. Nevertheless, when he exits the Kaaba, Abbas radiallahu anhu comes forward. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, why don't you hand this key over to me? Give me the duty to look after the key of the Kaaba. I will open the Kaaba when any hujjaj come, when pilgrims come. I will take care of it. I will look after it. Don't return it to Uthman bin Talha, who was not a Muslim at that time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam contemplates this. Immediately Jibreel is sent down. Inna Allah ya'murukum أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. That, O Nabi of Allah, Allah commands you that you should return amanat, trusts, to its rightful recipient. You have taken this key from Uthman, you have to give it back to him, even though he may not be a Muslim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes that key and returns it to Uthman bin Talha, and then Mufassirin write, this becomes a sabab and a cause for him now accepting Islam. The justice, the equity, the fairness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He could have said that I have conquered, I am in charge, why should I now give this key back to a non-Muslim? But this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing once again the fairness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us with. And the second incident towards the end of the fifth juz, a lengthy incident, we'll try and summarize it inshallah. There was a family in Madinah Munawwara who was known as the Bani Ubayriq family. There were three sons, Bishr, Bashir, Mubashir, and the middle son Bashir, he was better known as Tu'ma, or according to some narrations, Abu Tu'ma. Now this person, some historians say he was a Muslim, others say he was a munafiq, a hypocrite. Nevertheless, on one occasion he breaks into a property, he steals some armor or some shield, and after a few days he realizes that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are close to finding him out. So there is talk that Tu'ma is the person who was the thief. So when he hears this, he takes the shield, he places it into a bag of flour, and he now takes this bag and he leaves it in the house of somebody else in Madinah Munawwara. Some have said that that was a Jewish person. So he leaves this bag of flour with the shield inside in this person's house. But what he does before that is he cuts a hole in the bottom of the bag. So this flower, as he is walking, leaves a trail. And then he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he says to him that people have pointed fingers at me and they are accusing me of being the thief, but I can guide you and show you who the real thief is. And he says, all you need to do is follow this trail of flour and you will find your way to the person who stole the shield. Nevertheless, Sahaba radiallahu anhum retrieve this bag of flour, they find the shield inside. And now the family of Tu'ma come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they say to him that we want you to publicly declare the innocence of our brother. People have pointed fingers at him, they have accused him of theft, and you should come out publicly now and declare his innocence. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down Jibreel alayhi salam that وَلَا تَكُلْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. That, O Nabi of Allah, don't ever stand on behalf of someone who is a deceitful person, a treacherous person. Now understand, Mufassirin have written that here we have Tu'ma bin Ubayriq, who outwardly is a Muslim, he is on the side of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The opposing party is a Jewish person, he is now being accused of theft. And this thought would have went through the minds of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that how can we give the upper hand to the Jew and say that he is correct and Tu'ma is the thief? Rather, let's just conceal this entire incident, let's sweep it under the carpet, let's not make it into an issue. But here verses of Quran come down and this incident will remain till the day of Qiyamah. That وَلَا تَكُلْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَسِيمًا وَلَا تُجَادِلْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. In very clear words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't ever dispute on behalf of or in favor of somebody who is a liar, somebody who is deceiving. And a lesson for us, many a times we may be put into a situation where we have to pass judgment between people. It may be something informal, somebody comes to you, something happened. And now one party may be close to you, he may be your friend, he may be your family member, or you may stand to benefit by passing judgment in favor of that person. But always remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be just, to be fair, to be completely impartial. We keep the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the forefront, and then we will see the benefit. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.